We're going to read from John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. John chapter 4, from verse 1 to verse 26. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Amen.
All right, I'm Baptist, so I got to get my notes organized here. All right, so appreciate the opportunity, again, to come today. Not quite as polished as Dorian, but hopefully the Lord will use me and speak to some of you here today as we go through what we're talking about. So I also have a clicker. I'm going to make sure that this works. There we go. All right, so you see we have verses 1 to 42 out there. We read 1 to 26. There's a little piece at the end. As we had a gentleman in the States called Paul Harvey, he said that was the rest of the story. So we'll briefly touch on what happens after Jesus and the women talk at the well. Right. So, as well, we need to have a little historical context of what's going on. It's great to focus on the stories and to understand where we're at, but we also need to get both before and the after, so we can apply it better, right? So if we look at what was read through there in the context, John the Baptist had been around. He was baptizing people. He was attracting attention from the Pharisees. Jesus' disciples had started baptizing people as well. And so they're starting to get a name for themselves. Now with this, Jesus has to go back to Galilee from Judea. So he's going to have to move back through. And he chooses, or was made to go through, Samaria, right? That's not normally a route that people would take. When we look at the Samaritans of that time, they were considered, you know, a lower caste. They were considered unclean, people you would not want to associate with, right? Because of being specific brand of Gentiles that were out there. It kind of comes into play if you remember the story of the Good Samaritan and how, you know, all the good people did not stop, but the Samaritan did to help the wounded traveler and pay for it. But all this is done as part of obedience to God's plan. So as we think later, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is praying about God's will being done, and if they can remove, you know, what's going to happen. But he goes through with it, right? So Jesus is following through with what God has ordained him to do as well. Okay, so when we think that maybe Jesus is out there on his own behalf, going through it, making his own decisions, yes, that's true, but it's all fulfilling God's master plan that he put out. Go on. Okay, so another important characteristic here is to understand what happened just before in chapter 3. So the book of John is a great book. It's a very definitive book, and what I mean by that is the fact that it has a lot of definitions in it. If you read it through, I mean, it starts with, right, in the beginning there was the Word, and he's defining what happens in that respect. But as you go through the book of John, there's seven miracles that Jesus performs. There's seven statements where Jesus says, I am something, okay? So, you know, famous ones like, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? That we kind of, John 16 that's in there. He talks about the bread and other things. Seven being the number of completion or perfection in the Bible. So as John's telling the story from a particular perspective, he's focusing on that definition of Jesus, not only who Jesus says that he is, but how Jesus lives that out. And that's why I think it's so important as we go through these stories, we see what we can take from how Jesus actually acted, not just the words that he said, but what did he actually do? And then how can we take that and apply that to our own life? So in chapter 3, Jesus was talking to a man named Nicodemus. Okay, Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders of the time. Okay, he was part of the Sanhedrin. He was going to be well known. He did come, which is an important distinction, as we heard in our reading, the lady came at what time? The sixth hour, which was about noon. Nicodemus came at night. Okay, so a contrast there. But when you're looking at when Jesus chooses to talk to people and how he chooses to approach them as well, he's choosing all facets of the world that we have, right? So he's making sure that we can get to everyone. So with that, Nicodemus, well-learned man, rich, famous, had the power. But there's another side to that story, okay? Nicodemus is asking, how do I gain something? Not also, how do I sustain it? So the question he asked is, how do I gain this? Jesus says, you have to be born again. Nicodemus says, can't do that. How do I go back in? Jesus says, you have to be born of what? Of the water and the Spirit. So then, when the Samaritan lady is at the well and Jesus is talking to her, he's telling her how to gain that water and then translate it and fulfill and be refreshed, okay? So the Samaritan woman comes. She comes at noon, hot part of the day, not as many people around the well, right? She doesn't want to be seen because her past is known. She's part of a lower caste. She's potentially uneducated, right? She's trying to not want to talk to people about, may ask questions about her living situation. Maybe asking questions about, you know, the five husbands that she had previously and the man that she's living with now. So what we get is kind of this dichotomy moving between a learned leader rejecting what has happened and a Samaritan woman accepting it. So let's dig in a little bit more into the story itself, right? And then kind of understand how we can apply this with the living water that she chooses to accept from us. Now, if anyone has worked on a farm, and we're out here in Donegal, right, nice and rural, I assume many of us have, but back in Texas, you know, it'd be about 45 degrees potentially in the summer, Celsius, so nice and hot, 40 to 45. I think the melting point in Ireland is a little bit lower. Maybe it's, you know, roughly 30 degrees Celsius for y'all. But I do remember as we worked with my dad and my grandpa, anyone we'd hired, something of that, we'd work, and I remember thinking, oh, is it time for a break yet? And time to go get that water. And so we had a big yellow Igloo cooler sitting on the back of the pickup truck, right on, sitting there on the tailgate. And we would take a break, and we would go, and we would get that water. And I remember thinking, oh, that hits the spot, right? You don't always know if you're dehydrated till you get there sometimes, but you know that you can prepare for it, right? So knowing what we could do the day before to prepare for it. But I just remember that the taste of that cold water hitting it, refreshing from that physical standpoint. And how can we translate that physical refreshment now to spiritual? Okay. So I think the key passage as we start moving through, okay, is going to be understanding the part where he says, okay, if in John 4:10, okay, if you knew the gift of God and who it is he says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And this theme is going to flow through kind of five subheadings that I have up here, okay, and talk through kind of the five subheadings as well. You don't have to memorize everything. There's not a quiz, okay, but there is an interactive part that I told the pastor about that potentially will happen later on as well, okay? All right, but as we get started, we already covered a little bit of the taking initiative, why Jesus was in Samaria. The reason why? Because it was part of God's plan, right? Jesus is going where he needs to meet people. He is not waiting for people to come to him. He is being uncomfortable in this situation, right? People are asking, why are we going to go this route? It doesn't make sense. But he's taking the initiative and going there. I'm not going to belabor that point because, again, meat and potatoes, meeting people in 10 and 15, okay? It's moving. Jesus is moving from the physical thirst to spiritual thirst, okay? The lady is going to the well to draw her water, take it back, provide for whoever may be in her household. Maybe it's her and the man she's living with. Maybe there's others there. Maybe there's children there. Who knows, okay? Maybe she's gathering it for a larger community piece as well. As they're starting their discussions and she's trying to figure out what is this water that they're talking about, okay, she doesn't realize it's the spiritual water at first. And Jesus does his best to move the conversation from, you come looking for physical water, okay, but we need to talk about the spiritual thirst that you have, not just your physical thirst. And this is important at the very end because we'll talk about the pot that she leaves as well, okay? So how many of us, though, are like that lady coming to the well searching for a certain type of water when really what we need to do is focus on a different type of water? We go through the day, right? We're working whatever job we have, okay? That takes some stuff out of us. Maybe it's even things like attending church, having to get up and, you know, get ready, drive however long it is. I know we have people drive 30 minutes, an hour to get here, right? It's an effort to get here. And these things all take out of us. And sometimes we don't realize that because maybe we think we're fine on the outside, but inside we're really running dry. And again, we're just trying to seek for those physical things, okay? So we start to see that transition from the physical water and to the living water. And again, this is an important verse that captures it here. In verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." And so how does she respond? Okay, as we start moving further in, she responds and says, "I want this water." Like, she understands that she's lacking something of that nature. She's acknowledging that what he just talked about is a true statement, right? Sometimes we have a problem rejecting the truth when we get it. Again, in contrast to Nicodemus, a learned religious man who pushed back on what Jesus said and says, "Oh, you can't be born again. That's physically impossible." This woman is saying, "I want that. That makes sense. Give it to me, please, sir." Okay. So as the conversation continues, then it turns into the grace discussion. Okay. When we're dehydrated, again, if you've been there, right, sometimes you start noticing your faculties get affected. Maybe it's a physical, you get tired. Maybe it's your components don't quite work as well. But something I notice when I start getting dehydrated is mentally, I'm not always there, right? So things get started a little cloudy. Maybe I get a headache, something of that nature. We see from the woman's previous decisions, right, with her five husbands, that maybe she didn't always make those best decisions. Okay, but Jesus is not naming her prior sins to condemn her, is he? No. He's naming her prior sins to help save her so that we can acknowledge what's happened. He says, there's the problem. You're dehydrated. This is how it manifests itself in your life. So what can we do about that? Okay? And she acknowledges it. And she even says, well, sir, you are a prophet in the worshiping. Okay? But Jesus goes back and says, well, you're worshiping something you don't understand, and I'm here to clarify that for you. Okay? So as we start talking by then, what is a true husband and the faith? What does that look like? Well, it's God. Okay? He's going to explain what the spiritual water is to her, and then how these words can translate to something she can take and share. So Jesus is redefining worship to her. It's not the worship of her ancestors here at Jacob's well and in worshiping on the mountains. It's saying, I who speaks to you am he. I am the living water. Okay? There is no great, you know, she has not been in religious school for 10 years. She has not been in church, right? Maybe never set foot somewhere. But she is experiencing a genuine relationship, a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus even says, you worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. That's when she responds, she knew about the coming Messiah. So she had some, at least, testimonial that was handed down of what this would look like. And then, bam, in verse 26, when Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am he, okay, the clarification hits as it's wrapping up kind of this first part. This is why the rest of the story is important as well. So, you know, at a high level, we talk about she came for physical water. She came to meet a need that she thought that she had. She came not knowing that she was going to speak to anyone, trying to stay to herself. Jesus knew all these things and hit each of those points. Okay? There's a slight break here as we continue on through 27 to 30 and then 31 to 42 because the disciples come back. And so that's why we stopped the reading at 26. That's really the conversation that he's had with her. But then the disciples come back and they want to know, Jesus, why are you talking to this lady? Okay? You know? And Jesus said, why are you rebuking me? You didn't even ask the lady, right? You come to me, you didn't even want to talk to the lady yourself, okay? You're coming to me for answers. You could have had the answer. She could have given you the truth. So then from here, we'll see how this affects her life and then how it should affect our lives going forward as well, right? I know sometimes when I get truth and I get so excited, and maybe if you can remember back, if you're a Christian, if you've got that relationship, when you first accepted Jesus, were you on fire? You wanted to go tell people, right? You wanted to go spread the word, okay? That's what the lady is going to do. So I'm going to read a couple of verses here, okay? So John chapter 4, verses 28, and then down through 30. So John chapter 4, verse 28 to 30. So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? They went out of the city and were coming to him. Three verses, but very important when you pick up what is actually happening here, right? She left her water pot. The sole reason that she came to the well that day, she left it behind because she had a new purpose. And the new purpose was to tell others about what she had seen. She didn't worry about, will people consider, why do I not have water? Maybe she thought it would slow her down, right? Having to carry the pot. Maybe she was worried about breaking something. To me, I think she was just so excited. There's a specific reason why John mentions she left that water pot. It's the shift in priorities that happens, right? They drop the old, they pick up the new. Because what she came for is no longer holding her attention. The other piece with this is, she went into the city and said to who? The other women? No, she said to the men. This is a woman, again, Now, everyone there was probably Samaritan, right? But it's from the caste system still, she is going to men and saying, come see what I have seen. Give me them direction on what to do, and telling them a statement of fact, okay? Normally, it was the other way in this time, right? There was, you know, my wife talked about being submissive and follow me around. But the way that things went there, women were more submissive to the men and doing chores for what the men told them and bringing. But if you think about it, when she is telling them, come see what I have seen, is she not bringing them the right kind of water? So she's fulfilling what she meant to do and what they sent her to do, just in a slightly different way as well, right? So then, as we continue on, so we'll skip a few things because he has some discussions with the disciples, but we'll go down to verse 39 as we kind of finish the thought processes up, okay? So I'm probably going a little too fast. Pastor Dorian said I couldn't be an Americanized and talk for 40 minutes, so, you know, I'm doing the Irish 20 minutes. But let's go down to verse 39 here. And from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him, because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all the things that I have done, so that when the Samaritans came to him, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, the men, okay, were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. Okay, and then after 2 days, Jesus went forth from there into Galilee. So what's important about these verses to pick up on then is someone brought the message to the men, right? But the men went and saw for themselves. They actually sat in the presence of Jesus. And with that, they established a relationship. They asked him questions themselves. They gained that understanding themselves. But something had to happen, right, for that to take place. So the lady moved from just having merely an encounter to being a witness. And that's why things like our testimony are so important. Okay, people can see how excited she is. They can see what's changed just probably in her expression, in her appearance. You know, maybe there was a glow about her. I choose to think that there was, you know, as she was all excited talking about things. But it's the importance of her willing to tell them, even though I didn't bring you back that physical water, it's important enough for me to tell you to come see this living water that we're looking at. And I think that really gives us some guidelines with what Jesus did and what the woman did on how we can apply it in our everyday life. So I'm going to step over here so you can see the screen a little better, because there are a few of these. Oh, wait, no, the microphone's over here. Okay, let's try over here. I don't know. Can y'all see okay? Yeah. Right, so what can we do? So sharing the gospel begins... Yeah, it's kinda, not going to work. I'm used to walking around with a mic. Sorry. No, you're good. You're good. Right? So sharing the conversation, or excuse me, sharing the gospel begins with what? A conversation that has to happen between two people, right? So we have to be willing to initiate that conversation, but sometimes it's uncomfortable to do. Sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable for us. Sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable for the other person. And I'm not talking about taking your Bible and beating people on the head, right? Now, Jesus knew what those woman's sins were, and we'll see that down at the bottom. We'll get to it, right? But he wasn't condemning people. Sometimes, maybe I can be a little too harsh in my approach. When we're trying to get the word across and we're so excited and we want to talk about and share that story, right? What happens? Maybe we go about it slightly different. Sometimes that can be the cultural barriers that are an issue, okay? Maybe I'm not comfortable talking to people different ethnicity. Maybe I'm afraid of what others will think of me if they see me talking to those people. Maybe I'm afraid of what someone in a position of power would think of if I was talking to people. Okay, so we have to ignore the barriers like Jesus chose to do. Sometimes we also think that we have to save the world when we're on fire. You know, we need to get out. We need to have a Billy Graham crusade. You know, if you know who Billy Graham is, I know he came over to this part of the world some, right? But, you know, that's amazing what he was able to do. but I'm not Billy Graham. But to one person, I may be Billy Graham. I may meet someone at that petrol pump when I'm filling up that's having a bad day, and I can say, hey, you know, let me just tell you about my Savior, Jesus Christ. So we have to be content to start with one person, okay? Jesus puts people in our lives where we meet them, whether that's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's here at church, whether it's as we're running errands. Okay, there's always that opportunity. And then teaching that one person can open other doors. That woman, the Samaritan woman, then went and told the men who came to see, right? So, as Jesus talks about later on as well, right, there's sowing and there's reaping, right? We can be content being sowers and not the reapers. That's okay. Sin and obtaining life is the key to a good conversation. Key because it unlocks. Not saying you have to start everything with this, right? But from an applicable standpoint, if we can't be honest, and it doesn't happen the first conversation necessarily. Again, this is illustrative of Jesus, right? And her acknowledging that he was the Messiah, thinking he was a prophet first. I don't know your sins. You don't know mine. Probably thank goodness, right? Between me and God that we try and confess. But we can all acknowledge that we are sinners. And we can talk about it in that relational aspect. That we have something that we need to address. Okay? And with that, tie it back to, if you want to talk about water, you can talk about it being dehydrated as well. Okay? We've already covered sowing and reaping a little bit. There we go. Okay? But to do that, to sow and reap both, we have to open our eyes to the opportunities around us to do both. Maybe it's me planting those seeds. Maybe it's me continuing conversations around something that's happened. Okay? I think sharing the gospel is urgent. You know, as we prayed for people who aren't saved, we never know when our last breath is. We never know what will happen to us. We never know what will happen to the ones we love, maybe the ones that we meet. And sometimes those are the hardest conversations to have are with the ones that we love, okay? But it is urgent that we at least start trying to break that barrier. And something my wife and I have found is Ireland is absolutely different than the U.S. in regards of, what do we want to say, direct conversations. You know, it's a wonderful thing, the community here and how Irish treat other people and things of that nature, but there is also a little bit of reservedness as well initially. And so going back to some of the other points, we can't just be as direct as we would have been in the States, okay? There's a different cultural piece that we have to acknowledge, work within that, but acknowledge that it's urgent and we need to have these conversations. Sharing the gospel requires us to be inconvenienced, right? We have to step out of our comfort zone. But God has a plan for us, and it's part of his plan. Okay? There's a saying, too. It's not biblical, but I like it. Saying ships in a harbor are safe, but that's not what ships are built for, right? They're meant to sail the ocean, right? And you get into stormy seas sometimes. But God is with us, right? He calls us to pick up our cross and follow him. And so even coming up here, right, again, I'm not a public speaker. I appreciate the opportunity. So, but, you know, I'm nervous doing this out of my comfort zone, right? But this is what we have to do to get the word out. And then something else, the last point, right? So nothing will fill us like the enlightened eyes of a lost soul. We have a purpose, okay? We were created with a purpose on earth. And you can go into Matthew, right, chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. The last verses in Matthew, and what is that? It's the Great Commission, okay? Where Jesus is telling to go out, lo, right? Go and be disciples of all nations, right? Telling them what I have commanded you, right? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you even until the end of the age, okay? But this is why we feel like we're fulfilling our purpose as we spread this news. That's what we're created for, in his image. This is an act of worship that we spend our tithe, right? That we spend our time to further this message. So, I kind of talked around the story, kind of talked around a few applicable things that we can do to help spread the message like Jesus did in this woman with her living water. But I have an illustration that I hope helps shows why we really need this living water inside us. So I'm going to ask Tanum to come up and help me, okay? He doesn't always know that he's going to be my guinea pig. Okay, I've got a towel here in case there's a little spillage. Clean up here. Okay. Water bottle, just filled up with water from there. It's not vodka or anything. Okay, so I'm going to hold the water bottle. Okay, so representing water that's inside here. Tandem, if you'll take my arm. Okay, why don't you give it a little shake? Okay, what do you notice? Right, water spills. Okay, thank you. Okay, oh wait, sorry, question for you. Why did the water spill?
Because I shook your arm.
Because he shook my arm. Okay, thank you. Right? And you're saying that's silly. That's silly. Would you agree the water spilled because he shook my arm?
Yes.
Everyone agree with this?
Yeah.
Okay. Switch your mind for a second. Did the water spill because he shook my arm or because there was water in the cup? If it shook my arm and it wasn't water, what would have spilled out? Okay. So life is going to shake us, right? Stuff is going to come out of us, okay? Is it going to be living water that's there that we have to replenish on a daily, weekly basis? Or is it going to be the other stuff that we pour in, right? The things of the world that we fill our vessels with, okay? So, in conclusion, I would like to pray, okay? If we could, we've got a couple note takers. That's fine. Continue taking your notes. But if you'd bow your heads with me, I'd just like to take a moment and pray. You know, if you don't know that living water either, I pray that today is an opportunity that you can come and taste it. If you need refilled because your vessel is empty through dehydration, through a leak in your pot, through something, the world hitting you with a sledgehammer, maybe it's not even shaking, but it's shattering your vessel, okay? God is there. He is the potter. We are the clay. He can reform us. He can refill us. He can renew us as he lifts us up. So, Lord, I pray that those who are here, Lord, I pray that they know you. I pray that you fill us with the living water. But more than that, I pray that we seek it from you, Lord. I pray that we take this living water, that we pour it out to those around us, Lord, that we share it. Lord, that we are not scared. That, Lord, that we can be testimonies to those around us. As we say, you know, if we have to, we use words, but actions are the best way to do that. Lord, I pray as we go through the week and as those cracks develop, Lord, as we leak out, Lord, that we prepare ourselves for that. Lord, that we spend time in your word to renew. Lord, that we spend time fellowship with one another to renew, because that's so critically important. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the reading. We thank you for the worship. And Lord, as we go into communion, Lord, we just thank you for an opportunity to remember that even Jesus was thirsty. Lord, his last words on the cross as he was dying, he said, "I am thirsty," and they gave him the vinegar, Lord, on the hyssop branch, Lord, and then he gave up his spirit. So Lord, we just ask that you bless the communion as we remember what we do in your name. It's in your son's precious name we pray. Amen.